Ideally, I probably need at least 3 or 4 hours to do justice to this year.
You have time?
And I don't have time. And I don't have Makoros, which is usually my crutch. And I'll try to make it as clear as possible, but I'm not going to, just time-wise, I'm not going to have enough time to explain every single Yesod. But hopefully you've been listening long enough for the past, few years that we've known each other, that we'll be able to at least understand a little bit what we're trying to say. This series, which we started actually last summer together, which doesn't have any real briach etichon, doesn't have really any solid connecting point, except for the fact that there are various teachings of Rav Kook, and trying to use those teachings to help us to navigate our personal relationships with Hashem, with each other, with ourselves. And Rav Kook, who is an amazingly vast, oftentimes very difficult, quasi-human being, quasi-malach to understand, lends itself to a whole range of feelings that we're so fortunate to be able to taste here and there. And we started last summer to try to touch upon some ideas. Sometimes the ideas are more core ideas to the philosophy of Rav Kook. Not that I'm an expert in Rav Kook in any way. Some of them are just more mechubar to what's going on in the Parshas Shavua or in the time. So I want to try to share a yesod which is found in many places in the Svarim of Rav Kook, and is really something which is essential to a proper understanding of the universe, which is the eternal nature of the Jewish people. Pasuk says, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. And even though that pasuk is interpreted many different ways, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, which means the eternal one of the Jewish people, the victory of Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael, the Mefarshim explain, is probably Api Pshat, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fact that the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is beyond time, does not falsify information. If Hashem says something, so then we can be sure that He'll follow through. But in the Sifrei Chassidus, most notably in the Svarim of Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, and in other great teachers, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker has come to mean something a little bit different. It has come maybe to mean that the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word is true and is incapable of being altered, but that most specifically and most notably, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He promised the Jewish people that we would make it to the end, lo yishaker. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us that no matter how crazy and no matter how difficult and no matter how dark the atmosphere might seem at times, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Am Yisrael as a nation that we'll make it to the end, that we have nothing to be afraid of. And the more, as we'll see, the more that a person taps into that world, which is called Knesset Yisrael, which is called Kol Yisrael, like the Noam HaMelech explained in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chilek L'Olam Haba. Every Jew has a chilek in the world to come. And the Noam HaMelech explained that Kol Yisrael is actually a place. Kol Yisrael is a place in the Olamos. I'm not here to explain what that means tonight. But Kol Yisrael is a place in the Olam HaElyon. And any Jew who's mechaber to that Indian of Kol Yisrael, which means attaching ourselves authentically, in the way that we think, in the way that we act, not just in frontal mitzvah observance, not just in doing the 613 mitzvahs and learning Torah, but in completely embracing what it means to be a Jew, mind, body, and soul. In terms of the way we dress, in terms of the way we carry ourselves, in terms of the type of music we listen to, the types of foods we eat, in terms of everything you can imagine, the more a person attaches themselves to the eternal nature of the Jewish people, the more they have nothing to fear because they're going to make it to the end. To make it to the end doesn't mean that we are immortal. No human being could be immortal. Gemara says there were certain tzaddikim who didn't do any chataim and they only died because of the sin of Adam HaRishon. But the more we attach ourselves to this wondrous thing called Kol Yisrael, called Knesset Yisrael, called the Jewish people, the more we can be sure of our success at making it to the end. I want to come back at the end to explain this, but just to begin with something that needs explanation, I always try to tie the shirim into what's going on in the parsha. Almost at the beginning of the parsha, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Pinchas, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe leimor Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoin heishiv es chamasi me'al bnei Yisrael b'kanoes kinasi b'socham ve'lo chilisi es bnei Yisrael b'kinasi." Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoin saves the day. He stops the plague. He returns through his unwillingness to even consider another option. He sees the Chilul Hashem and feels the absolute need to fill the void where that chilul, where that hole, that gaping hole, was created. And therefore, the Torah responds and says, "Lachin Omer Hinini Nosein Lo Asbrisi Shalom." Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Pinchas that because you did this, because you filled this gaping hole, because you stemmed this plague against the Jewish people, because you plugged the hole that was sinking the ship of Klal Yisrael, so therefore, Lachin Omer Hinini Nosein Lo Asbrisi Shalom. I'm going to give you a bris shalom. And the amazing thing is that if you're zochet to be a Kohen and you're zochet to get the first Aliyah in Parshas Pinchas, you will see what is brought down in our Masorah, that the word Shalom in the Torah, when it says Brisi Shalom, the word Shalom, which is spelled Shin Lamed Vav Mem, the Vav of the word Shalom is actually broken in half. It's the one place in the Torah where even though a letter is broken and is not complete, the Torah actually, according to our tradition, Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, the Torah wants that the letter Vav of the word Shalom should be broken. And I want to try to understand, again, with the limited time that we have, what that broken Vav is coming to tell us, and why it is that that broken vav is a reflection of what it says in the Svarim HaKadoshim, that the most whole thing, the most complete thing in the world is a broken heart. That the brokenness that we experience, that we think we're experiencing, the darkness that we sometimes think we're experiencing, is actually that broken vav, is something which is going to lead us to the end, is going to take us to the end. So it's a remarkable Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos, that Chazal wanted very, very deeply to put a certain parsha into the Kriyat Shema that we say every single day. And that's the parsha that we read last week, which is definitely tied to this week, which is the parsha of Balak. Specifically, the parsha where Bilam comes to curse the Jewish people and ends up blessing them. And the Gemara says, and I'll read for you as the Gemara in Baruch and Daf Yud Beis Mod Beis, Amar Rabbi Avo, said, Amar Yehuda ben Zveda, he taught a teaching from his Rebbe Yehuda ben Zveda, Bakshu Lekavo Parshas Balak Bekriyat Shema. That Chazal wanted to put the Parsha of Balak, a specific Parsha of Balak, into Kriyat Shema, but they were not able to do it because of Tircha Ditzibor. They weren't able to do it because not everyone would fully understand what they were trying to do, and it would end up, as Rav Kook is going to explain, it would end up causing a Tircha, because people would have to say a longer Kriyat Shema. It would lead people down a negative path. And yet the Gemara asks, my time, why did Chazal want to put, it's a very strange thing to want to put in Kriyat Shema. What was it exactly that led Chazal to want to put this pasuk, or specifically this whole parsha, but a specific pasuk, which is captured within that parsha, why put that in Kriyat Shema? So the Gemara quotes from Rav Yossi Bar Avin. Rav Yossi Bar Avin said in the pasuk, "Kara shachav kari ukalavia," that a lion crouches like a baby cub, sleeping, lying down, and the pasuk says, "Mi yikimena," who is going to be so crazy as to wake that sleeping lion? Who is so crazy as to wake, to arouse the lion which slumbers? Bilam says, you have to be absolutely crazy to wake a sleeping lion. But Chazal didn't want to put that pasuk in Kriyat Shema because it was Tircha Detzibor. Says Rav Kook, listen carefully. Says Rav Kook, what's Kriyat Shema all about? You can find this in the Ein Ayah, Rav Kook's commentary to Brachos, in the first parak, Os Kuf Ayin, 170. So I'll explain it outside. Rav Kook says that what's Kriyat Shema? Chazal already tells us that Kriyat Shema is the place where a Jew is mekabel two things. A Jew is mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, and a Jew is mekabel Ol Mitzvos. What it means to be mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim and Ol Mitzvos is that when we come to Kriyat Shema, we are being miyached HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way that we're miyached HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that when a Jew takes upon himself and on herself to do the mitzvos habore, to fulfill the will of the Master of the Universe, mitzvos, the Sfarim say, mitzvah comes from the Lashon of tzavta, which means a cord, something which ties something together, which could be used to draw down, to pull down something into the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos as a means of not only tying ourselves up to Shemayim, not only as a means of a rope which ascends to the highest place in order to give us a lifeline, an umbilical cord, to our source on high, to our shorish above, but it's a cord which could be used to pull down shefa, bracha, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember when I was a kid, I had a neighbor, and we used to have, our houses were close enough that somehow we were able to pass a rope from one window, our windows were right across from each other, and we had a rope system, like in some crazy movie or something, with a basket, and we were able to pass things back and forth via this rope. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us mitzvos, tzavta, he gives us a rope to hold on tight to him, and for him to be able to pass things back and forth to us. That's what mitzvos are. Mitzvos are not commandments. Mitzvos are lifelines. Mitzvos are umbilical cords. And those mitzvos help us to bring down to the world exactly what we're supposed to be bringing down when we're Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim means that we say to the Master of the World, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created a world, and even though sometimes there's darkness in that world, through mitzvahs I pull you down into the world. I show your oneness in the world. I show that even though it looks like the world is disparate, and even though it looks like there are parts that are moving in all different directions, and things don't seem to be coming together, afal pikin, I believe, ani mamin b'emunah shleima, shal boris baruch echad, v'in yachduso kamo b'shampanim, I believe that you're the only one, there's no oneness like you. Hu levado elokeinu hayahu v'viyah, he was, he is, and he will be. And everything that I'm seeing in the world and all of the things which seem like puzzle pieces which don't go together, it's mamish, it's all one thing. And I trust you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're leading me to a safe place. That you're leading me with a rope to a safe place. The problem is that that's all fine and good that a person can say that we believe that, but that's for one simple reason. That's because everybody sitting in this room is a child of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarah Rivka Rachel and Leah. And Rav Kook writes that it's all well and good that we're mekabel ol malchus shemayim and we're mekabel ol mitzvos. But now you understand the depth, listen to Rav Kook's words, you understand the depth of what Chazal were doing when they wanted to put this parsha, they wanted to put this pasuk in Kriyat Shema. Because the Jewish people who are in exile, Chazal wanted to do this when we were in exile. The Jewish people who are in exile, who are a sleeping lion, and we'll talk more about this with the lights on, with Makoros and Ritz Hashem on Wednesday. The Jewish people in exile are like a sleeping lion. You look at the Jewish people, we're sleeping. Like Rabbi Nachman writes in the Torah Aleph of Likutei Maharan, Chein v'chashivos, the chein, the grace and the chashivos in the world is not with the Jewish people. People look at the Jewish people as lowly. It's not true. But the chein v'chashivos that we're supposed to have is not with us. We're sleeping. But Bilam understood, and our enemies understand very well, that Am Yisrael is like a sleeping lion, as Bilam said. We're not just stam sleeping. We're karosh, achav, kariyo, kolavya. We're like a lion which is sleeping. Who is crazy enough to disturb the lion? You have to be out of your mind. Yeah, it's sleeping, so it's not so scary. But if you take one step in the wrong direction, you rustle the leaves just wrong, and you wake that lion, your life is on your head. So Rav Kook says that really, really, Chazal wanted to put this parsha in Shema because Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos is nothing if you don't have the Jewish people showing the whole world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad Ushmo Echad. Without Am Yisrael, even in a state of slumber, doing everything we can, pushing along, schlepping along, trying everything we can to make it to the finish line. You know, my wife this year was in the Hask Marathon. And I think I told some of the Chevra, maybe around that time, that I went to go cheer my wife on, and I brought my daughter. We walked from Katamon down to the park. And as we were getting to the place where you turn into the park, which is the finish line for parts of the marathon, you have people standing there with like microphones and with huge speakers, and people are starting to finish, you know, the first round of runners are starting to finish the marathon, and you see them screaming, just a few more steps, you can make it, keep going, push, you're almost there, just a few more steps. And I'm like standing there, like my daughter's looking at Abba, what are you? And I'm just, and they're just saying, you can do it, just keep pushing a little bit more. And I'm like, this is crazy. They're not talking to the marathon runners. This is like, this is not a Baal Shem Tov story. This is not like the Berditchever, like, interpreting some drunk person in a bar. This is like, this is me standing here in the year 2014, and these people think that they're talking to marathon runners, but they're mamish talking to Am Yisrael. It's not about a marathon. They're saying, push just a few more steps. We're so close, and things are getting so crazy, and you're so tired, and you're so broken. You're so shavur. You're so ayif. You're so broken. But you just have a few more steps. And after you finish the marathon, it's not just like whatever, like Gatorade and an apple that they have, whatever they had at the Jerusalem Marathon. It's like the real thing. It's like really reaching that. So Chazal understood that this idea of the sleeping lion could be misunderstood. They couldn't just put this in because then people would be comfortable. And again, I don't have time to explain the whole thing, but Rav Kook writes that people would be comfortable with the idea of the sleeping lion as an idea unto itself. The sleeping lion is only latent potential. It's not actual strength. And without the rest of the context of that entire parsha of Bilaam's blessing the Jewish people when he meant to curse us, which talks about our dedication to Torah and the fact that even in the exile, even though we seem to be sleeping, we're really wide awake, all these other psukim which are necessary for bringing a proper perspective to what's actually going on, it would make it too long. We wouldn't be able to, we would be bothered by the length of Kriyat Shema, and therefore Chazal had to leave that parsha out. You know, the Gemara says that we say every single day Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we have it in our tefillin. But in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. As much as we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe in you, and we're here to tell everybody that there's something special about you, Hashem is saying, I'm here to tell the whole world that there's something special about the Jewish people. That you're an eternal people that can't be destroyed. Some of you remember, I think I told this story last year, but I'll tell it again. That about 14 years ago, a little bit more now, when it was going to be the new millennium, so the New York Times decided to run a gimmick newspaper, where instead of the regular New York Times front page, and then going to the next page, page 2 of the New York Times, they decided that they'd do a gimmick, they would have 3 front pages, like in a row. The first front page was going to be the actual day's news. Then you turn the page expecting to get to the news, and you see again the New York Times headline. And it was the front page news, a direct copy of the front page news with the drawn-in advertisements because cameras weren't exactly the way that they are, if at all, from January 1st, 1900, 100 years earlier. And then you flip the page one more time, and you have a front page shot of the New York Times, January 1st, 2100. And it had all sorts of goofy things. It had, like, robots argue for the right to vote, and Cuba becomes an official state in the United States, and Quidditch becomes a national sport, and all these ridiculous things. But it was a cute gimmick for the new millennium. But there was a Yid who made this story famous, who realized that in the bottom corner, January 1st, 2100, was Friday. And he realized that in the bottom left corner of the New York Times, there was a little box that had an advertisement that said, Jewish women and girls, don't forget that sundown today, Friday, is at 6:52. And 18 minutes before is candle lighting. So this Yid saw this. I'm sure he wasn't the only one, but he was the only one who called. So he called the New York Times, and took him a few days. And finally someone got him in touch with the editor of the New York Times. And there's a special editor for the front page of the New York Times. So he had to get passed from person to person until finally he got to the editor of the front page. He said, what's the pshat? So he said, in the 1990s, there was a wealthy philanthropist who used to take out advertisements in the New York Times. And he would, it's a pretty expensive thing, the front page of the New York Times, expensive advertising. And on the bottom left corner, he would take out an ad, you could write whatever you want. And he would do this as a chesed to remind Jewish women that candlelighting is at such and such a time. Until he realized that, like, it wasn't worth it. spend his money in other ways. Maybe the proliferation of the internet, excuse me. People can find out time other ways, waste of money, I don't know, maybe no shortage of causes. He decided to stop. But the editor of the New York Times said, you know, I got to this thing. We were putting together this front page for January 1st, 2100, and I realized it was on a Friday, and I was putting together all these things, and it rubbed me the wrong way that I was thinking, like, Quidditch, Cuba, robots, like, who knows if any of this is going to be true. He said, but if there's one thing that I know for sure is going to be true, is that if the world is still around in 2100, there's still going to be Jewish women and girls who are lighting Shabbos candles. Because the Jewish people are eternal. And just like we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. And even though the world is burning right now, and even though everything is crazy, I'm not just talking about my family, I'm just talking about the world, it's only because the final Birurim, like I think either Rav Judah or Reizel, I don't remember who said it, the final Birurim are taking place right before Mashiach, right now. So just a few more minutes. I'm going to try to explain an amazing thing. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that whenever we say Hashem's name, we say Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we have to think, HaYehovah V'Yiyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, He is, and He will be. We have to think, like, that's what the name means, Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? We also have to think that he's the Adon HaKol. And the Mechaber explains that every time we say Bracha, every time we daven, every time we say Hashem's name, that's what we have to think. But the Vilna Gaon says that's not true, and this is how we pass on the Maisa, that you only have to think HaKadosh Baruch Hu's HaYehovah V'Yiyah Adon HaKol when you say Shema. And you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad. That's the only time you ever have to think, when you say those two shemos of Hashem, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad, you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, He is, and He will be, He's the Adon HaKol. So why is that? So the answer is, that before I was quoting from the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, one of the principles of faith is Ani Ma'amin Be'Emunah Shlema Shel Boris Barach Shemo Hu Echad, He's one, Ve'ein Yachduso Kamo B'Shem Panim Hu Levado Elokeinu HaYehovah. There's no one like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His oneness. He was, He is, and He will be. And if Palm writes in the Sefer Atar LaMelech, that it's a funny thing, because if you think about it, that's two different beliefs. One is that Hashem is infinitely one. There's nothing else in the world except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second thing is that He is, He was, and He will be. Those are two different things. Hashem's infinite nature, His eternal nature, and the fact that He is one are two totally separate things. And Rav Palm explains that the only reason that things are not eternal is because they were at one point put together of different parts. Why is this table one day not going to be anymore? Because this table has different parts, and eventually the parts wear down. And eventually the parts fall apart. And eventually the wood rots, and eventually everything breaks down into its pieces. It's called entropy. It's a law of nature. But that's only true of something which is consisting of parts. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Echad Yachad Miyuchad, is only one. There's no parts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only thing that exists. We all exist in Him, but it's all one thing. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, therefore, HaYehovah V'Yiyah. Therefore, He can never be put together, He can never be taken apart, He's eternal. So therefore, Dafka in Kriyat Shema, says the Gra, says Rav Palm, Dafka in Kriyat Shema, when we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we speak of the Echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at that moment we're also supposed to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Haya Hove V'Yiyah, only in Shema. Because when you speak of the Achdus Hashem, when you speak of the oneness of God, you also have to speak about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal. Now, Am Yisrael, who are the ones who carry Shema Yisrael on their lips, Am Yisrael, who are the ones who carry this call of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That Chazal wanted to put this parsha of Bilam and Balak into that even though we look like we're sleeping, every Jew dies with Kriyat Shema on his lips, like the Baal Tanya says, millions of Jews died with Kriyat Shema on their lips, even people who didn't keep Halacha. The slumbering lion. Who dares to wake the slumbering lion? That call of Shema Yisrael is exactly what makes us eternal. It's the guarantee, it's the promise that Am Yisrael is going to make it to the end. Our crying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which the Targum says that when Pinchas got up, what caused Pinchas to get up? The Targum writes that Am Yisrael were crying Kriyat Shema. They were saying the tefillah of Kriyat Shema while Kuzbi and Zimri were involved in that act, which was causing the destruction of the Jewish people. And Pinchas got up when he heard the cry of Shema Yisrael, and he put an end to it. That cry of Kriyat Shema, which is the cry of the Jewish people, is the cry of the slumbering lion. Anybody who's crazy enough to try to wake the slumbering lion, even Jews who have fallen so far away, Kal v'chomer Jews who are so connected, when somebody messes with the Jewish people, when somebody wakes the slumbering lion and evokes the cry of Shema Yisrael, when someone provokes the lion to scream out the cry of Shema Yisrael, unless they're on the side of the Jewish people, they're crazy. Because that cry of Shema, which taps into the eternal nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael V'Arayis Achad Hu, the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one, and we can't be separated, is the cry which guarantees the Jewish people will get to the end of time. So now we'll end. So it's the famous Rashi, where Rashi brings down the Maimer Chazal, it's a Rashi in Sefer Vayikra, that in five places Yaakov Avinu's name, Yaakov Avinu, which is the broken name of Yisrael. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes that when we call Am Yisrael Yisrael, so Yisrael means Yashar Kel, it means that we're in a high place. Yaakov means the ankle, it means we're in a low place. There are five places where Yaakov, the broken Yaakov, Yaakov in his lowly state, is spelled Yaakov, Yud Ayin Kuf Vav Bez. Yaakov, with a mullet, with a vav. And there are five places where Eliyahu Anavi has his name spelled without the letter vav. And it's Yadua that the Zohar Kadosh in this week's Parsha writes that Eliyahu, and Chazal write it explicitly in the Talmud Bavli, that Eliyahu is Pinchas. Eliyahu is Pinchas. It's one and the same person. Exactly what that means. Maybe they share a neshama, maybe it's really the same person. Eliyahu is Pinchas. And Rashi writes that there are five places where Yaakov's name, the broken Yaakov, the lowly Yaakov, is spelled Mole, whereas Eliyahu is spelled Chaser. And in those five places, Yaakov Avinu took the letter Vav from Eliyahu Anavi, as Rashi writes, as a guarantor, as a mashkon, that Eliyahu Anavi promises to come and to redeem the Jewish people. Yisrael doesn't need that guarantee. Yaakov needs that guarantee. Yisrael is when the Jewish people are fine. Yaakov is when the Jewish people are involved in Kuzbi and Zimri and all types of other crazy things. Yaakov needs a guarantee that Eliyahu Navi is going to come and is going to redeem us. And therefore Yaakov even takes the Vav of Eliyahu Navi's name. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lachain Omer Hinini Nosein Lo as Brisi Shalom. I give Pinchas my bris of peace. Eliyahu Navi is called Malach HaBris. I give Eliyahu Navi, I give Pinchas my brisi shalom, but the vav is not complete, the vav is broken. And the Baal Turim writes that the reason the vav is broken in the Torah is because that vav of Eliyahu is still not complete until he comes and fulfills his mission, which is to take the Jewish people from their broken state and to elevate them to the highest place. To take back his vav from Yaakov by taking Yaakov together together with him to Eretz Yisrael. To fixing the Jewish people once and for all. And the Vav of Eliyahu's name that Yaakov Yinu took is the Vav of the six words of Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The promise that the Jewish people are eternal, the promise that the Jewish people, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and can't be broken down into different parts and therefore is Hayeho Veviyah, is the same Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, the six words that Am Yisrael are promised that they're going to make it to the end. That even a simple guy who works for the New York Times, and even a simple guy who tries to curse the Jewish people, understands that you don't dare wake the sleeping lion. Because Am Yisrael is Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to the Jewish people is not a sheker, chas v'shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to leave the Jewish people in a sorry state forever. And therefore, Chazal wanted so badly, as Rav Kook was explaining, Chazal wanted so badly to put this pasuk into the Shema, because of Tircha D'Tzibur, they couldn't put it into Shema itself. But that doesn't mean that we can't put it into Shema. No, we can't physically put it into Shema, because anything like Chazal or Miyusa, that's what we do. But we could put that feeling into Shema. When a person is Miyachid Shem Hashem, when a person is Mekabel Ol Machat Shemaim and Ol Mitzvos, we have to know that every single Kabbalas Ol Machat Shemaim and every single Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos has to be charged with the Bris Shalom. Has to be charged with the fact that we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still have that vav from Eliyahu Navi, and we're not going to stop no matter how crazy it seems and no matter how far out the world seems to go, but we promise that we'll keep up our end of the deal, we'll keep saying Shema Yisrael, we'll keep pushing forward, we'll keep spreading your name if you promise to keep your end of the deal, to send Eliyahu Navi. The Baal Shem Tov said, and I'll end with this, the Baal Shem Tov said that at the end of time it's going to be as difficult to find a Jew could say a simple Shema Yisrael as it is to find the Chevra, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, who were on the highest level. He says, you think we're doing big avoda over here. He said, there's going to come a time where it's going to be hard to find a Jew who can even say Shema Yisrael before the end of time. And that's what we're holding on to. We're holding on to Shema Yisrael, we're holding on to that Vav, which we have as the guarantor, the Os Emes. The Zohar says the Vav is the Os Emes, which takes us to the end. It's a straight path to the end. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to hold on very, very tightly to that tzavta, to that rope, which we use to pass things back and forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that vav, which is the rope, which is the spear of Pinchas, we don't have time for any of this stuff. The broken vav of shalom, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want your shalom, Pinchas, Eliyahu, it only comes when you bring shalom to the Jewish people. It only comes when you send that final package, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to send us, which is Ben David of Decha, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servant, David HaMelech. Will bring us back with the Vav, the Os Emes, the letter of Netzach, the letter of Emes, and here we may know Amen v'Amen.
Amen.
Shkoyach.